Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The utterly inspired all-electric EQE sedan from Mercedes-Benz. With hundreds of customizable comfort settings inside the cabin, it's the EV that recharges you. The vehicle is all-electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome inside Hour 3. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. And you know, the thing is, Doug, and maybe this is a silver lining for me today, being a Mets fan and celebrating Bobby Bonilla Day, and already I'm getting the early morning. Oh, I didn't know you were up. Yeah, you're doing, hey, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Great, thanks a lot. With all this money going on, we talked about Zion getting his extension and Jokic getting $62 million. Maybe at some point just getting $1 million for doing nothing on July 1st, it will just go by everybody and people lose interest. I don't know, I'm hoping over the next few years with Bobby Bonilla Day. Maybe that happens.
Yeah, $1 million doesn't get you what it used to, too. Like, we think of $1 million, a lot of stuff. He's like, Bobby Bonilla's like, oh, all I got is $1 million today? Man, it's a lot better 10 years ago.
How long till we get to the point where he says, oh, you know, I got screwed in this deal. You know, I should be getting more. This should be, I don't know, another couple of years until he's like, oh, this $1 million is like nothing.
Well, I mean, if you would have gone back, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe even a year ago, I would have said he's getting screwed in this deal, because if you put that money in the market, right, if he got it all, put it all in the market, it would have been worth exponentially more when the market just exploded. But now, obviously, you know, well, what if he put it all in Bitcoin? You know, now he's in there going like, wait, how much? So I just like it. Look, it's a really interesting thing when you first, like, first sit down with a financial advisor and they ask you the question. This is the stuff they should teach you in business school, which I think they do now. Is more financial literacy, you know, and just the idea of, like, you know, should you take the payout up front or should you defer? If you defer, you know, it becomes found money to you. You know, it's great. That mailbox money is something else. Or you just look down in your bank account, you're like, wow, that get wired to me. I didn't even think about that. But there, you know, the financial people will always tell you you're better off taking the money up front and being able to use it and not just spend it, but also invest it. And it could be worth exponentially more. But it's got to not suck to be Bobby Bonilla to get that deferred payment of $1 million on July 1st. That's a good feeling. That's a good That's a good feeling.
Maybe that could work in you know, outside of sports, like wherever else you work. Like, hey, I know I'm good. I haven't worked at that place in 5 years. Oh, really? Yeah, but I got deferred payments coming up in a couple. I'm going to be awesome. Yeah, when I'm 55 years old, I start getting you know, X amount of dollars a year. These deferred payments. This Bobby Bonilla was really on the cusp of a game changer for us.
He definitely was. speaking of game changer, you just picked up this article, this Dan Wetzel article. So look, there's two massive stories, right? And we're covering them both. Pat Garrity's going to join us later on this hour. Pat, of course, played a decade in the league. He was also the president of the NBA PA when he was a player. Okay, so Pat can tell you, and he, not this collective bargaining agreement, but the previous one, he like authored, like he was really part, he knows all of it. He works for Stadium Sports. He was the GM of the Detroit Pistons. And in between playing for the Magic and being with the Pistons organization, in between that little stretch there, he actually worked in the financial world. I think in Connecticut. He went to Duke, got his MBA. So a brilliant guy. So we'll talk to him about.
Did you play with him at Notre Dame?
Yeah. Yeah. He was a sophomore. He was awesome. My best Pat Garrity story is this one. Fran McCaffrey recruited us both. Fran, of course, now the head coach at Iowa. And Pat is a mechanical engineering or bioengineering or something really smart major. And his first semester at Notre Dame, he got a B. He got all A's and a B. And Fran called him in. And Fran's obviously then the lead assistant at Notre Dame, Hunter John McCloud. And he said, Pat, we didn't bring you here from Monument, Colorado. We didn't bring you all the way here from Colorado, you know, for you to get a B. He's like, okay, Fran, right? And he was being sarcastic, but Pat took it as a challenge. And I don't think he got a B ever again in college. Like, he's insane. He's insanely bright. Anyway, so we got that. And then you got this USC and UCLA break off to the Big Ten, which, I mean, I think it's shaken college sports to its core. I think it could potentially help the Big 12. But it could have, I don't know if it could have been avoided, but the Pac-12 now, or what's left of it, you're sitting there, you have no LA, right? The drawing card to the LA schools is that so many of the talented players are from LA, and hey, you get to play every year back at UCLA or USC, basketball, football, all the same. And now LA, I don't know what you do if you're the Pac-12, but you have that article from Dan Wetzel, right? And mm-hmm. where there was an agreement in place that only the Pac-12 and ACC balked at, which was 12-team playoff and what's called a golden ticket. In other words, if you won the Pac-12, you won the ACC, you got an automatic bid to the college football playoff when it would expand. And the fear was that the SEC would have so many bids that it would have financial dominance. But now you're the Pac-12. You didn't agree to that deal. The ACC didn't agree to that deal. You'll never get a chance at that deal ever again.
No, I look at it as the ramifications here going forward. This is awful for the Pac-12 and the ACC. Because the next domino that will wind up falling is you're going to see, boy, will Clemson and Florida State and Miami stay in the ACC? Are they going to say, hey, you know what, man, boy, the SEC would be something, or you know, maybe the Big Ten? It depends on how you want to go geographically. But I don't. We go from the Power Five conferences. How far away are we from the Power Three conferences? You know, or maybe even just the Power Two, depending on how much the Big 12 stays around after. And it's just, okay, we're going to be SEC, we're going to be Big 10, and that's kind of what it's going to be. And those are the ones that are going to eat the other ones and out of existence. Because if you can't replace USC and UCLA, look, we had Petros Papadakis on earlier in the show, college football analyst, and said, hey, we're going to probably be in this for about 7 years before you see, you know, another, you know, big change away from this. And in 7 years, we not even have these conferences anymore, or the Pac-12 may be, you know, just like the Mountain West, how we look at them, and the same thing with the Big 12 and the ACC. We could be getting Power 3, Power 2 conferences soon.
Well, look, I think there's a couple scenarios. I mean, San Diego State and UNLV have always been blocked out of the Pac-10, Pac-12, and, you know, frankly, San Diego State's basketball was the caliber of the top of the Pac-12 for the last decade. They open a new stadium this year, although it's only a 30,000 seed stadium. Obviously, their football is not there, and UNLV's football is not there as well. So you do you wonder what's in play. I don't think we get to the two major conferences. I just don't think that works. I could be wrong. But the reason that all of this movement has taken place is always lined up with the new TV deals. And the next TV deal, obviously the Big Ten one, when it comes through, is going to be gigantic, biggest one ever. And the Big 12, I believe, is the next one up. And what they do, I think, tells you a lot about what this is going to look like. You know, I mean, it would make a lot of sense to get Colorado and Utah. They have Colorado, Utah, BYU all right there. I mean, heck, you know, Air Force actually has a very good national following, and it's a great academic institution. I mean, I think you add that. But then you have Arizona, Arizona State. You can add those teams. The big thing for the Big Ten is going to be, I know people act like it's not that big a deal, but you're at a tremendous disadvantage if you have to travel how they have to travel for every game. A tremendous disadvantage. And I do think that I think it's going to hurt UCLA a ton. I think it'll help them for their basketball in terms of putting people in the arena. I think it'll help them for the Rose Bowl and putting people in the stadium. But the chance of competing in football, I don't see it. Those schools are just way – they're like USC is all in on football. Well, most every school in the Big Ten is all in on football. UCLA kind of they've just now – I mean, their new athletic director, Martin Drummond, he's done a good job, and they finally built that football facility, and they redid basketball a couple years ago, and it's nice. But and they finally got an on-campus practice facility for basketball. They don't have a stadium on campus for football. I mean, like do you understand – do people understand the disadvantage – take it Wisconsin, right? Now, Wisconsin, obviously, you don't have the players that grow up there, enough of them, that you can field a team, especially, you know, you got an importer, Russell Wilson. You got to import some of these skill position guys. You just don't. Okay, but Wisconsin, you put, I don't know how many people get into Camp Randall, 80, 90,000 people. You know, you have that whole, the whole jump around the student section. They're just falling out of their dorms and their apartments and walking over onto campus. To UCLA to get to the Rose Bowl, it's an hour. It's an hour on a college football Saturday to get there. So I think that place will be full, but it'll be like the Chargers. They'll be playing road games. And then I don't know how they compete against the Big Ten. Those schools are built better. I'm going to disagree with Petros in terms of running the football. Like Ohio State runs it, but they've thrown it a ton here. You know, the last decade, I don't think USC style doesn't work. If they have the dudes defensively in 2 years, they'll be just fine with Lincoln Riley. But the bigger thing is, like, you're going to get on a plane for every road game except for – and then here's the part. I heard Brady Quinn, our morning show on Fox Sports Radio, is two pros and a cup of Joe. Got LeVar Arrington. You got Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn's like, oh, USC, UCLA, they got their rival. They play USC. Like, dude, Cal and UCLA, the whole – when the Pac-12 expanded, a huge portion of the divisions was, one, everyone who wanted to play in L.A., and two, you have the basketball rivalries of UCLA and Arizona, and you have the outright rivalries of UCLA and Cal. I just – what happens to – and people can act like those rivalries don't matter and change just happens. Like, that's bull. These things have been going on for 100 years. And you have to ask yourself, honestly, why do you watch college football? It's not better football than the NFL, is it? Like, no one would tell you that college football is as good as the NFL. The pomp and the circumstance and the pageantry, they're traditions, right? And we've played them forever, right? I mean, heck, Texas and Texas A&M, who they'll start playing each other now in the SEC, but remember, they used to play each other, and the old wives' tale was that the winner got to go to the, you know, the best little house in Texas, you know, that musical.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a real story of Texas and Texas A&M, and to the victors go the spoils. That's a real thing. I've said this when Kansas used to play Missouri, that rivalry goes back to the Civil War, where Missouri was a border state, you know, or slave state essentially, and Kansas was a free state, and Missouri, under cover of darkness, burned Lawrence to the ground. Like, that's a rivalry. Now all of a sudden you're just playing teams that are just on your schedule.
Yeah, but these are games, though, and this is where, you know, Dan Wetzel's article gets into this, is that just take USC and UCLA, right? This is going to be great for USC, and as you said, it's going to be awful for UCLA. So many of the schools, we're now talking about just a hand, maybe 12 or 15 that are going to be the top level schools that are going to be able to have everything. They can win and they're going to make money. Everybody else is just, well, I'm along to make money. That I mean, that's what college football has become. That we're all, I mean, everybody wants to make it, but schools like UCLA, are you playing well? No. What's been your record the last years? 4-8, 3-9. Now we had 6-6. We went to the Sun Bowl. It was kind of interesting. But so many of these schools now are all irrelevant. You know, like I was excited when Syracuse joined the ACC for football and basketball, right? When this happened, because, you know, that's my school. It's where I went. I'm excited. Oh, boy, we're in the ACC now. It's going to be awesome. And then what's happened? We've gotten swallowed up in the ACC. We can't get to a bowl game because the competition is too big. And
couldn't compete.
And in college, and in college basketball now, we're lucky if we're the seventh team, and if we can squeak in, and that's been awful for our school. And while you've been getting the ACC money, it's about competing, and you're now talking about cutting off, you know, of the 120 Division I schools, you're cutting 85 to 95 of them out from competing's not going to happen for you. You just be happy making your money, and it's going to be about these 12 or 15 schools. I mean, that's what these deals are doing, is that we're just cutting what's relevant down from here's an entire sport to, well, all right, well, I'm going to go watch my team this Saturday because it's what I like to do, but I have no illusions that we can go to a bowl game or we can win or we can make a playoff. You know, the hope of the college football fan for the vast majority of these teams is going out the window. But we're making money, so hey, it's going to be okay. We're making money, but being able to win and have that, that's not happening.
Can you imagine how mad the Rose Bowl is today?
Oof.
And those Rose Bowl people are used to getting their way too.
Yeah.
Now we're the granddaddy of them all. This one's going to be an interesting one. And look, there's a portion of it where I say, like, if I'm UCLA, okay, and we can make $100 million in our media rights deal, and we weren't making 50 last year, and the state of California doesn't give you much of anything. And, you know, the Wasserman Group has given them a ton. They have some good donors, but not the likes of everybody else in college sports. Like, you got to take that money. You got to do it. But there's, for any decision you make, there's a downside to it. And, Cal being left out of this thing, whew, that's an interesting one in the UC system. And then, you know, you have what happens with Stanford is interesting to me. Of course, you have Oregon and Washington, proud universities. That whole element to it is fascinating. But I think this is great timing for the Big 12, and that the Big 12 can solidify itself as, it's not going to be the SEC or the Big 10, but it could be right there in the third league variety with the ACC if it adds smartly. And because you're in Texas, you're in Florida, you know, I don't know how you can't really get to California unless you add Cal or Stanford. That's where the players are, right? And like there's a lot of talk about money, and money is important, and being in the college football playoff is important, okay? But like the reason that Notre Dame is brilliant in their scheduling, right? They recruit nationally, and they recruit nationally by they play in the ACC, they'll play in Virginia, the Virginia Tech of Virginia, right? When the ACC schedule, that's a great Florida recruiting ground. Then they go play in Florida every year. They play in California every year. Remember, they played in Texas. They played Texas as well. They do that for recruiting. So I'm interested in what the Big 12 does. But more than anything, like, this is, man, what a titanic land shift. And it's fascinating to see how this thing got done and got done so quietly when, you know, everybody's got sources somewhere.
But yeah, college sports could do this, right? I mean, whenever we get teams that are changing conferences, making big moves, or coaches suddenly, I'm going here, college sports, where they have so many more variables, are able to keep it a secret. They're able to keep it a secret. Professional sports, we know right away. Hey, I'm thinking of, new sources, Zion Williamson to sign big. But in college sports, all these things are just jumping on top of you right away. And it makes it, what's their secret for keeping secrets? I mean, with more people, it's out there.
Well, I'll give you an honest story here, okay? I don't know if you remember this, but when the SEC initially expanded with Texas A&M and Missouri, okay, I actually broke the story. And this was after the Texas was going to the Pac-12, and that didn't happen. So and I tried to give it to the football guys and the other guys when I was at ESPN, and because they had been burned like the week before, 2 weeks before with Texas, they were like, I'm not touching it. So this is a true story, okay? I get a call early one morning from a friend of mine who's with a basketball team. I'm not going to say which one because that would probably give it away, who's touring overseas. The school, the basketball program was on a tour in, I think, France or in Switzerland or something. They're playing a game. And the athletic director came in and sat the players and the coaches down with the boosters who were with them and said, hey, here's what's happening back home. A&M is leaving and they're going to the SEC. Missouri's going with them. And they're going to try and add Clemson and Georgia Tech as well. Now, Clemson and Georgia Tech got blocked off by an alliance, right, with the Kentuckys of the world and the Georgias and the Florida and all the others that, you know, Florida didn't want Florida State in, et cetera. But that's – so then I got the phone call, and then I called a couple friends who were at those universities, and they said, yeah, this is going to happen. Anyway, I was called a liar. I didn't know what I was talking about, et cetera, et cetera. But that's how it happened, is they actually – it wasn't actually a leak. It was – hey, because of the time zone difference, this is going to happen later today. Over breakfast, the athletic director sat down the team and the coaches and told them what's and the boosters and told them what was going to happen.
Wow, that's a great story. Time difference. That sometimes is all about that. Wow.
Time zone.
Wow. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick today here on Fox Sports Radio. Speaking of basketball, we got more of it coming up next. What is next for Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, as NBA free agency is absolutely insane. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. As NBA free agency hits day two, what is next for Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and others? Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, a man who gave Doug Gottlieb all kinds of sound financial advice back when they were teammates in Notre Dame, former NBA player. Check him out at Stadium right now, Pat Garrity. Pat, what's happening?
Man, I'm just trying to, like, absorb everything that happened yesterday. It was like, once the Kevin Durant news broke, it was like hard to concentrate on all these other moves that teams are trying to make, because I guess we shouldn't have been surprised, but I was still surprised.
Oh, okay, if you were surprised and you've been in the Pistons front office, you know, you've been when you're a player, the president of the Players Association, what do you think really happened in Brooklyn, right? Because Sean Marks said, hey, we want guys to play for each other. We want guys that are available all the time. Like, all these things that were clearly directed at Kyrie. He did say it was Kyrie, but he said everybody. Hadn't had communication with Kevin Durant. Kyrie, who I guess is representing himself, shops himself for a shine and trade that doesn't come to be. He opts in, and now KD says he wants to be traded. What do you think happened there?
I think what happened was when Brooklyn wasn't able to fully commit or wasn't willing to fully commit to Kyrie, I think, and this is just speculation, I haven't talked to anyone there. This is pure just outside looking in. I think that Kevin Durant was probably like, well, what are we doing here? Like, I came here to have this thing of my own and win a championship, and for right or for wrong. And I mean, you know, I have my own opinion on how much I'd be willing to commit to Kyrie. They weren't willing to commit to Kyrie. And I think in his mind, he's like, well, if you're not willing to commit, what am I doing here? What are we doing here? Let me just go find someplace else. And I think, you know, all of us look from the outside looking in, none of us would want to commit our franchise to Kyrie, right? Like, none of us would want to put 4 new years on his contract and be kind of at the whims of someone who was a terrific player, but in the last couple of years just showed from a purely basketball standpoint, from an availability standpoint, that the reliability is a huge question. And so I think that they were right to be concerned about that. But I think not committing to this team going forward in that manner, and then obviously Kevin Durant not trusting them to go and find a better solution if Kyrie wasn't a part of it, in my mind, seems like what led him to go down this path.
Pat, you know, as Doug talked about your time in the front office with the Pistons and comparing now a different angle on this, were the Nets ready for any of this? Did they bite off more than they can chew? Did they just see the star power of, hey, Kevin wants to come here and Kyrie wants to come here and we're going to figure it out? Because as we've seen the last 3 years, they had no way to figure it out. They were at odds with coaching and management, and it didn't work, even though they kowtowed to Kyrie and allowed him to miss as many games as he did. I don't know that I look at the Nets and I just go, yeah, they were completely out of their depth on this one.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, it certainly appears to be the case. I mean, when you look back at what the Nets were when Sean Marks took over the franchise, everything that they were known for was, you know, building this culture of work and, you know, we're going to do things differently and we're going to do things the right way. And I think, you know, making the pivot to we're going to now we've amassed all these assets and then we can go be a player to bring in, you know, these three all NBA players and just the talent alone, you know, we can paper over maybe anything else that came up. I think that was probably a thought. And look, I'm sure that there are 20 other teams that would have thought that way too, just because the talent is so great and you have to have that talent to win in the NBA. And so I think that what we're seeing here maybe is probably a lot of teams like rethinking that strategy, right? Like, there's a difference when you draft an all-NBA player and you have him under that rookie contract and extend him, and he's part of your organization. I mean, there's a stake that I think players have in those types of situations versus when they're 28 years old, come off their second contract, sign as a free agency. I mean, if you're gonna build your team that way with that as your primary player, I mean, you're oftentimes setting yourself up for issues where they're gonna want things that maybe don't align with the long-term interest and success of your franchise.
Okay, so Pat, here's what happens, right? We all sit here on sports radio, and you later today on stadium, on TV and on digital, and we talk about KD and would he fit in Miami? I think that'd be a great fit. Would he fit with the Clippers? Would he fit with whomever? But you have to send something back in return. Like, Brooklyn's not going to get a guy under contract who's arguably the best, if not a top five player, you know, in the NBA, not giving away. So having sat in that seat and made these decisions and made moves before, what does a Kevin Durant trade look like?
Well, unfortunately, I've never been in a position to have a discussion about getting one of the best players of all time. So that, in a sense, I guess would be a good problem to have. But I think I think the point you're making is the right point. Like, let's take Phoenix, for example, right? Any trade with the Phoenix Suns is going to involve Miles Bridges, right? And Miles Bridges is maybe not an all-NBA player, but like Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, I mean, are they winning the championship? Like, you need, like, we saw with Boston, we saw with Golden State, like the depth, they have great players and they have depth. And so I think that's going to be the tricky part is I think that there are a number of teams that can put together packages of a young, emerging, all-star type player, five first-round picks that gets this kind of thing done. It's just a question of how much teams are willing to gut their depth. And if you're going to gut your depth like that, are you really going to be in contention? When you look at the other teams, the teams that were playing in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals this year, I mean, those were deep teams with the highest-end talent kind of in their starting units.
You know, because that's the thing, Pat, is that this is Kevin Durant now. And yes, when Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, he is unbelievable, and he has still shown glimpses that he can be that guy. But this is also someone now who's going to be 34 that is still, you know, you don't know what his overall health is going to be going forward. And when you have to gut your team, is the image and the idea of getting Kevin Durant for some teams maybe better than the actual reality of getting Kevin Durant because of what they have to give up? And suddenly, oh, hey, we got KD, but oh, we're not nearly the team we thought we were, because you look at what just happened with KD and Kyrie and they couldn't make it work in Brooklyn.
I think he's still good enough where, I mean, he's that good of a player where if you put him on the floor, surround him with guys who are at least capable defensively, who can switch and who aren't going to get overwhelmed with physicality and size like you're going to run into in the playoffs, that's a team, no question, that can go to a conference semifinal at minimum, right? But, I think what we're talking about here is winning
to
championships.
Win it all.
And, yeah. Right. And so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know any trade. Are you going to build a team with the depth that you can to do it? I mean, no question. Any team he goes to the Phoenix Suns, they win 50-plus games, and they're a top-four team in the West, right? Are they beating Golden State? Are they beating, you know, are they beating the Clippers, right? Memphis, who's a deep team. That's the question.
Denver's going to get Jamal Murray back next year, right? But, like, that one's going to be absolutely fascinating. Help me out. You're a cap genius, okay? Can't the Lakers
genius.
Just buy it?
I like being on this show.
Okay. What can the Lakers do with that Russell Westbrook contract so that they can have some? Because, right, they have that's the other thing that came out this week, right? Kyrie wanted to go there, and like, well, we can give you a $6.5 million, you know, veterans minimum exemption. Like, he's not about money, but he's definitely not about losing $30 million. They just don't have anything to offer up. What can they do realistically to get that off their books?
Well, here's the problem. I mean, the getting that money off the books is not an issue. I mean, all you go out and you find a team with, you know, a guy that has what's considered a bad contract extending out beyond this year, and that could potentially play, and you take that in. But the problem with that is the team isn't just going to just, you know, dump, for example, Gordon Hayward, who has another year on his contract. His contract goes out to 23-24, right? The Charlotte Hornets would, first of all, that doesn't make much sense from a basketball standpoint to do that, and they're going to want things like picks along with doing that. And so really when you're in the Lakers standpoint, you're like, are we willing to take on another year in the 30-plus range when we could have, when we could just kind of suck it up this year, play it out, and be in a much better position next summer? So that's the problem, is that for the Lakers to do that, they are going to have to take on a contract that extends beyond this year. And I don't think it's in their advantage to do that. I think they just play it out this year, and they set themselves up for 23-24.
NBA analyst for Stadium, cap expert, and a guy who always says Doug Gottlieb should have passed the ball to me more when we were teammates. It's Pat Garrity. He's on Twitter, at Pat Garrity.
Not possible. These things aren't possible.
I'll tell you what. I should have shot more. It was my fault for, like, trying to play the right way.
That's very true. It's not possible. I didn't shoot, so it wasn't possible.
At Pat Garrity 8 on Twitter. Hey, have a good show later on today, Pat. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Doug. Yeah, you brought up an interesting point with the trade, and you know, things have to go back to the Nets to make a deal. You can't just say, "Oh, hey, I want to go here," but there's nothing you can give up. What are the odds the Nets just say, "You know what? Screw you. We got a good offer from an off the radar team, whether it's a Sacramento or a Detroit or something like that, and it's not a preferred destination. They go, this is where we're sending you, and we're going to stick to our guns with a kind of deal like this." Can you see that kind of scenario, or things that bad with KD and the Nets, where they would just say, "You know what? No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to get a couple of good players from this team. We're going to send you wherever the hell we want to send you."
I mean, the interesting one would be Oklahoma City, right? I mean, they have so many picks. If they just said, "Here, take all the picks," you know, that would be the fascinating one. But I don't think so. Like, you're not going to necessarily do KD a solid because he signed a deal. He's under contract 4 years, and I mean, I see both sides of this. I completely agree with KD with Pat Garrity, where he's like, I don't really blame Kevin Durant here, right? Like, you came because you were going to play with Kyrie, and then you had James Harden, and you're like, all right, let's roll. Now James Harden doesn't get in shape, you know, doesn't have explosiveness, and you're playing with a ragtag group, and no one knows what's next. Like, I'm out. Like, I do understand that. So I don't think they're going to do him a solid and take a bad deal, but I think there's a good deal to be had there. So I think, you know, Houston and Oklahoma City have most of the picks. I don't think he's going to Sacramento. I could be wrong. What would happen if he did? I mean, this is one of those, you say you love to play basketball, but, you know, you also, Durant would not be a guy, I don't think, that wouldn't play, because he just loves to play. But that would be a hard one. And I don't think that would be well received by other stars in the league. So I think he'll go to a reputable team. It'll just be whatever reputable team offers the best offer. Like, look, what about the Boston Celtics? They were close last time, right? They were close last time to signing him as a free agent. Would they come off of Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? I don't know. Would you do that? That one would be fascinating.
What about
this
Denver?
This one's going to be interesting.
You mentioned Denver. Hey, they, you know, Jamal Murray. What about Denver? They certainly have a couple of pieces. You know, they got injury issues with Jamal Murray. What about something like that? And that's a big package goes from Denver, and KD and Jokic are playing together.
Yeah. I mean, KD and Jokic would be amazing because Jokic's such a great passer. I think Denver thinks, you know, they've been waiting on Murray. I think they have something special. But, again, part of it is, and this is where Pat is talking about the Phoenix deal. Any Phoenix deal, Phoenix is going to want to throw in DeAndre Ayton in a sign-in trade. Well, what makes you think that Brooklyn wants DeAndre Ayton? You know? Because for a sign-in trade, you're going to have to oversign him to what Phoenix didn't want to sign him for. Why should we want a guy that you didn't want for that money to sign for that money to play for us? So it's going to be tricky. I don't think they'll send him to one of the bottom feeders, but I also don't think they're going to necessarily set him up for success. I would guess that Brooklyn is not concerned about themselves and Kevin Durant, and we don't want to send them to a rival, whatever. If they tear this thing down, it's going to be several years before they're built back up. And by then, Kevin Durant may be onto another team or won't be nearly as big a factor.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. The 2022 Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs extraordinary is one test drive away. Learn more at MBUSA.com. That's MBUSA.com. Well, straight ahead, maybe the biggest lesson to learn from what we've seen the last 24 hours from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. What is it? It's next right here, Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes here on Bobby Bonilla Day. Oh, we're just getting warmed up. Doug, you would think like the Mets signed a huge free agent the way my phone is going this morning. It's, oh, hey, I'm so happy you're up early. How's the show going? They always ask me how you are, but I always get a HBBD. Like sometimes it's just a happy Bobby Bonilla Day. It's better than my birthday and Father's Day. I get more texts on this day.
That's amazing. That's amazing on a multitude of levels. A little sad, but amazing.
It's my life. What can I tell you? So with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, now their future's up in the air. We don't know where KD is going to go. Kyrie Irving seems to want to find his way to the Lakers. With this now failure that we look back at with the Nets. Part of this angle that I see now with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving is now we're going to reassess the teaming up in different cities, right? The Heatles bringing it when LeBron and Wade and Bosch all teamed up and they went to four finals and won two of them. Sometimes, you know, being in business with friends isn't all it's cracked up to be because it's hard to hold them accountable. And look, KD didn't hold Kyrie Irving accountable at all for the amount of time he was away from the team. There was never any, hey, Kyrie, we're trying to win a championship here. Can you not be on a Zoom call for a mayoral candidate for New York and play in a game instead? Forget about the vaccine part of it, too. He was never able to hold him accountable. And even at the end, when everything was going on with Kyrie in the Nets and we thought he was going to be traded, he had this list of teams he wanted to go to, what does Kevin Durant say? Oh, the Nets never found a way to get to really know Kyrie Irving. I think they did a lot, and they bent over backwards to keep him happy, but that wasn't enough. So it's hard. Like if you join up with a friend somewhere and you'd go into business, whether it's just in a startup business or you want to have your own business venture, sometimes it goes sideways like this, and you have to rethink it.
Well, I agree. I also think, I mean, there's a lot. I put a lot of that blame on Kyrie because people point to the vaccine and this year they forget his first year there, you know, early on in the season, he essentially said, hey, none of these guys are going to be, most of these guys aren't going to be here when we're really good anyway. Right. Like just, and then, you know, they hire Steve Nash and we don't really need a coach. There's just a lot of different stuff.
Right? That's what he said. KD, yeah, you and I can be the coach on any given night. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's a bunch of different stuff. I mean, even after the season where he's just like, yeah, you know, me and Joe, who's the owner, you know, we're going to get together. He didn't mention Steve Nash and, you know, and the GM, the owner and me, we're going to get together and maybe decide the franchise. Like, what? I mean, the guy just lost his mind. Some of it is, you know, I don't think people lost jobs as much over COVID, but it exposed guys that didn't want to be a part of something bigger than them. I think the big thing is that you just can't acquiesce to every desire of these guys. I think that's what brought down the Lakers. I think that's what, you know, is that they constantly changing guys and changing coaches because of what LeBron wants and signing, and they overpaid for Anthony Davis, and then they knew what they wanted to do and get Buddy Hield, and they acquiesced and let LeBron and Anthony Davis decide on Russell Westbrook. So I think a good portion of it is not just don't join up with friends. It's whoever's in charge, you got to let them do their deal. I mean, that's part of what makes Steph and Clay so special is they're great players, but they don't carry the ego of some of these guys that they're going to demand who their teammates are. They let Bob Myers figure that out, you know? They let Bob Myers figure that out. They don't try and manage anybody else. They don't even try and manage Draymond. They let Steve Kerr handle that. I think that's where their approach was off. It's not because look, if they had those two, I don't think they should have bit the apple and gone after James Harden. I thought that brought him down as much as anything. But again, so much of this is acquiescing to what your star players want. There was an article in the offseason before this year about how those guys just do whatever they want, whenever they want. And you can't run a franchise that way. You can't have a basketball team that way. The players can't be in charge. You have to have a coach that people respect. He's got to work with the star players, but there has to be a totem pole, and they cannot be at the top.
Are things different for them when they go, like when wherever Kevin Durant winds up, is he suddenly back involved and invested in winning? Does Kyrie Irving understand that I'm never getting paid again unless I show up for 65 games a year and show that I can still be an elite player? Because as much as I want to believe that, I don't know that that's the case with either of them anymore.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. Kevin Durant is about winning. He's about nothing else. He wants to win in basketball games. Nothing else matters. Kyrie, I no one knows. Unbelievable talent. But I mean, you heard from Pat Garrity, like he was in for more than half a decade. He was in the front office, the Detroit Pistons. Like he's, you know, nobody's given him 4 years. Nobody wants that. If he didn't figure that out this week when he wanted to sign and trade, remember Kyrie's essentially representing himself. So he had to make those phone calls, and those phone calls are like, yeah, we're not into the sign and trade. He's calling for himself. So I think the Kyrie question is the bigger question. Will he just play basketball? When he just plays basketball, he's great. Now, then he's got to actually follow the game plan. You know, I've shared the story when he's in Boston, they're playing the Bucks in the playoffs. Their game plan was for him to hard hedge and get back to his guy. And he kept switching and guarding Giannis, who, of course, you know, lit him up. He just wouldn't do what Brad Stevens and decided he should do for the betterment of the team. So there's a couple levels to it for Kyrie, but Kevin Durant wants to win. And he knows that in order to cement his legacy as one of the 5-10 greatest players of all time, he's got to win some more, and he can, but I don't think that's ever been called into question.
The 2022 Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs Extraordinary is one test drive away. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. Doug, you got big plans today celebrating Bobby Bonilla Day? Are you getting paid $1 million to do nothing?
No, I'm going to New York, and I'm coaching a team that we're going to Israel on the night of the 3rd. And so we'll be broadcasting actually from there after this.
Awesome stuff, Doug. Great stuff as always. Coming up next, Colin Cowherd. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz. It's impressively techy and surprisingly roomy. With available seating for up to 7, the vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQB.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.